At home, we play a game, and it's called Perudo. It's a bluffing game, and you have to roll a number of dice, but you keep them hidden from other people. And then you say what number you've rolled, but sometimes you don't tell the truth. So when we think someone is bluffing, we say, Dudo. So imagine somebody tells the rest of the team players that they've rolled 5 sixes, and I just don't think that is so. So I look them in the eye and I say, Dudo, and then I lift the cup to see what evidence is there. Every day we are sifting evidence. Every day we get fed facts, which are actually nonsense. If you're even half awake, whenever you scroll on the internet, you'll be going, Dudo, for a couple of minutes probably, because there's so much rubbish on the internet. There's so much fake truth out there. And if you're smart, you don't swallow very much of what it is you're reading before checking it out as to whether it's actually true or not. And there's a guy in the Bible, and he did exactly that. People call him Doubting Thomas, but I hope that this morning I can show you that that's not fair. I want to tell you the story of Fact Check Thomas. Reading from John 20, the Bible says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. I wonder what you were thinking when you heard Toby and Leah's story. They believe the Christian story. They believe that Jesus is real. They believe that Jesus died and rose again for them. He's alive in their lives in an active way. That is their story, and some of us will have celebrated because that story resonates with our own. But others of us might be more skeptical. We're not convinced. Or maybe we were basically saying, Dudo, I doubt it. And if that's you, my question this morning is, what evidence could cause you to change your mind? How are you actually going to check your facts? Now, doubt isn't a bad thing when it comes to the faith journey. I've got some questions, and I expect you have too. Pretending these questions don't exist isn't faith, it's fanaticism. If you've got questions, that is a really good starting point, but it's a rubbish end point. Sometimes I'll talk to people about my faith and they'll say, well, I've got some questions about Jesus. Great. Wonderful. Do you? How are you going to go about checking out some answers? This is what Fact Check Thomas did. Thomas tells us that he needs evidence. He says, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. So here we have Thomas, and he's saying, I've got some questions. And I love the way Jesus responds to that. He doesn't come back with, no, Tommy boy, all you need is faith. He provides solid evidence. And I wonder where that fits with your thinking in terms of the way God works. Thomas said, Dudo, I doubt it. And Jesus lifted the cup and he said, see for yourself. And I wonder what he would show you if you were honest with him about your questions. This need for evidence seems to be where Thomas starts, but I wonder whether there is a bit more emotion attached to his need. Could he just be a little bit angry because he has missed out? Everyone else has seen Jesus and he wasn't there. Why not me? It's not fair. And sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we will say dudo, and our dudo to God isn't really as much about God as it is about God's people. Some of us, if not all of us, we have had experience of God's people that has left us bruised and sore. I wish it wasn't the case, but we know that it is. Sometimes God's people have been guilty of being crass and careless, and sometimes even worse than that. And it's not right to brush that under the carpet or try and give some fake truth that it hasn't happened. But my appeal this morning would be not to miss out on a relationship with a good God on account of his people that sometimes aren't as good as God. Fortunately for Thomas, he pressed on. If Jesus detects any edge to Thomas's defensive challenge, prove it, Jesus's response to Thomas is warm. Come. Come closer. Come close enough to touch the place where I was wounded for you. Come and see, touch, know that I am real. Peace be with you. And the doubts are laid to rest as Thomas checks the facts. He'd seen Jesus die on a cross, a horrible death, and now he knows without a shadow of a doubt, Jesus is alive again. Thomas, his faith in that moment, it becomes real. Fact check, Thomas takes a deep breath and he says, my Lord and my God, it's true. That is a moment in Thomas's life, because his inner turmoil finds that place of peace, his need for evidence, has been satisfied. And the strained relationship with those that he's been sharing his life with for the past few years, that is now at peace because he can hold to the same faith as them. And feeling separated and out of sorts with God, well, that also finds a place of peace. He now knows in that moment he is at one with God. One person writing about this passage talks about the peace that Jesus offers. And he says this, it is much richer than the war within ourselves being calmed or the war with God being declared over. The biblical concept of peace means not so much the absence of hostility as the presence of positive harmony. It speaks not of the absence of wrong relationships, but the presence of right relationships. He says it's the soil in which our well-being can grow. It leads back to wholeness. Fact check, Thomas discovered this. But how about you? Where this morning might you be thinking, Dudo, I doubt it. Can I invite you today to lift up the cup and see for yourself? You might be surprised at what you find. Why not lift up the cup and explore the evidence? Try coming to church. What's the worst that could happen? Why not lift up the cup and explore the experience? I've got some little booklets down here called Try Praying. Why not try praying to God for a week, whether you believe in him or not? What's the worst that could happen? Or lift the cup and explore the journey. Say yes to Jesus, even if you're not quite sure what you're saying yes to. After all, what's the worst that could happen? And why not lift the cup and take the next step in your faith journey and say yes to being baptized next time? I can guarantee you'll get wet, but what else is the worst that could happen? So we're going to spend a moment or two praying, and I'm going to encourage you to close your eyes because I'm going to invite you to make a response, to maybe take a decision today in some of those areas that I've been speaking about. And so you might, while everyone's got their eyes closed, you might like to raise a hand. Please have a chat with me afterwards. So let's pray. Lord God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you know our questions. You know our doubts. You know what concerns us. You know our fears. You know where we've been let down by your church and the people that are part of it. You know where we've been treated badly and less than your good. Lord, would you help us start on a new journey of discovery today, a journey that looks at the evidence. Lord, would you help us to give it a go? Jesus, would you help us to respond to your invitation to lift the cup and explore the evidence? To commit to trying out coming to church on a regular basis. If you hear that invitation from Jesus today, I wonder whether you would just raise a hand. Jesus, help us to respond to your invitation to lift the cup and explore the experience. If you hear Jesus nudging you to explore experiencing him, and you want to take a Try Praying booklet, can I encourage you to raise your hand? Thank you. Jesus, would you help us to respond to your invitation to lift the cup and explore the journey? If you want to say yes to following Jesus today, would you simply raise a hand? Thank you. And Jesus, if you want us to respond to your invitation to lift the cup and take another step in our journey of faith and be baptized, if you hear Jesus saying, come and do this, it's about time, would you raise a hand? Jesus, you are here and you are with us. Give us courage, we pray, to keep on exploring the evidence when we have questions. Lord, help us to continue to explore the experience we have with you, to keep on saying yes to you for the first or for the millionth time. And Lord, taking steps in all those ways that you invite us to grow in faith. Amen.